Pastor T.D. Jakes said, little prayer equals little power. No prayer equals no power. You and I need the power of God in our lives. And prayer is the way that we get that. But I fear that most of us are not very confident when it comes to being prayer warriors. We started this whole series by talking about Hebrews chapter 4:16, which says we should come with confidence into the throne room of grace so that we may find God and we may gain His help and we obtain His mercy when we have needs in our life. And so we're called to pray, we're encouraged to pray, we're encouraged to come into the presence of the Most High. And yet somehow we find ourselves lacking in that area. But I want you to be encouraged this morning with the promises that God has for us concerning the subject of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is out praying, and an interesting thing happens when he's done. His closest friends come to him and say, hey, would you teach us how to pray? And the reason that's an interesting question is because in all of the rest of the New Testament, the disciples never come to Jesus and say, would you show us how to do miracles? Would you teach us how to heal people? Would you teach us how to do spectacular things? Teach us how to do great things. They never ask that. But in Luke 11, one specifically comes to him and he says, teach us to pray. And Jesus' response in Luke 11 is pretty simple and pretty foundational. He says, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name. What Jesus is doing is he is establishing that the parameters and the foundations of prayer are based on relationship, not religion. These guys that had grown up in the Jewish culture were taught to practice religion, not relationship. Jesus said, no. When you're going to pray, you go to the one, the only one, who can hear, respond to your prayer. Because prayer is built on the relationship that you and I have with our Heavenly Father. And so let me encourage you this morning that if you have not established that relationship with your Heavenly Father, that is the first place to do that. You may have been a religious person for a really long time. Everybody in this building today may think that you are some kind of godly individual. But if all you are practicing is religion, and if you have not established a relationship with God the Father through Christ the Son, your prayers are ineffective. And maybe that's the reason you continue to struggle. I was talking to my son last night. He was carrying on in Lubbock. They have some kind of basketball watch party last night. Apparently, Texas Tech has a pretty decent basketball team this year. But he was with some of the disciplers in the church that he attends, and they were talking about, and it's kind of fun to watch your children carry on family traditions, at least some of the time. And one of the things that he's encouraging the young men that he's discipling up at Texas Tech is he wants them to be able to write their conversion story. Sound familiar? And he came to me last night, and he was talking before the game started, and he said, Dad, I'm going through some of these conversion stories, and it amazes me how many people talk about how they were raised in a Christian home or they didn't have any religious upbringing, and all of a sudden they wound up going to church, and then they got baptized, and then life got hard because they walked away from God, and now they're on their way back. He said, it amazes me how many people sit down and write their story, but they never point to a moment in their life where they realized they were broken because of their sin and where they made a conscious choice to believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and more than that, to belong to Him in a relationship for the forgiveness of their sin. And so let me encourage you this morning that if you were in this building and you're very religious, but you can't seem to get to God, maybe it's because you just have religion and you don't have a relationship. Jesus told his disciples, if you want to pray, you got to start with relationship. You got to start with your Father who's in heaven, and holy is his name. There is no shame in acknowledging that you have missed the boat of Christ for the last how many ever years of your life. What's a shame is for you to know that you've missed it and not ever choose to get on board. Don't be embarrassed if you're religious but don't have a relationship with Jesus. We come to the invitation at the end of the service. First thing you need to do is walk down here and fix that. I'll be happy to talk you through it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. This is how Jesus is going to kind of launch his preaching ministry. And we get to kind of the end of the sermon that he's preaching. And in Matthew chapter 7, he begins to talk about some of the promises that can be yours when you decide through a relationship in him with the Father that you become a prayer. And he's trying to encourage his followers to be prayers and to not give up. And we're going to talk about the not giving up part next week. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And Jesus is laying out the foundation of promises for answered prayer. And let's just dive right in. Promise number one is that God, the Father, answers. He answers. We talked earlier in the series, sometimes he answers with an absolute yes. Sometimes he answers with an absolute no. Sometimes he answers with an absolute wait. And the honest truth is we only like it when he answers yes. But he always answers. I think it's interesting that if you take Matthew chapter 17 and you take the three things that he asks us to do, he says ask, seek, knock. And if you take the first letter of each of those, you have A, S, K. Ask, seek, knock. The verb tense is active here in the Greek language. And Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said, look, you need to keep on asking. You need to keep on seeking. You need to keep on knocking because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And you never arrive and you never have full understanding. And so as you grow, as you mature, as you take your life deeper, you need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because as long as you are God's child and as long as you live on this earth, he will keep on providing answers for your asking and your seeking and your knocking. Jesus is saying it in three different ways. But what is implied here is that proximity to your Heavenly Father is what makes the difference. Rick Warren suggests this. I found this interesting. Rick Warren says, when I am close to my Father, I simply have to ask, because that's the kind of relationship children have with their father that they're close to. They walk in and they ask. There's some kind of drumline thing in College Station this weekend. My daughter has been in drumline all high school and then for 3 years in college. And so her boyfriend's also in College Station, and so she decided to go to College Station this week. I doubt it had as much to do with drumline as she wanted it to think. But anyway, that's where she is this weekend. And my wife has some friends that are doing that, and so she went to help them. And so Tabitha calls, and she goes, hey, Mom's coming. I need her to bring my suitcase, my big green suitcase, and I need her to bring a movie that's in the cabinet. And just since you're coming, why don't you bring some cash? Of course, as all parents, we get that from time to time. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing it is that she feels confident enough to come to her daddy and go, I just need cash. My suitcase and a movie and cash. We have that kind of relationship. She knows that she can ask that of me. When I'm close to my Father, I simply have to ask. Rick Warren suggests. But he also says, when I have wandered from my Father, then I need to seek Him out to ask. I have to put some things in practice in my life that change my proximity to Him. I have to repent and move back in His direction. I need to seek Him out. Not that His love for you is conditional. He's waiting, but sometimes we move away. Rick Warren finally says that when I have blocked my relationship with my Father, when I have erected walls and barriers to keep Him out, then I need to practice knocking those down in order to make my way back to where He is. Sometimes I purposely sabotage my life, and I come up with this idea that it's impossible for me to make it back to my Father. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God wants to answer your prayers, but your proximity to Him matters. So adopt a prayer life that keeps you moving in His direction. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and move back to Him, because the Father answers. Promise number two is that the Father's answers are helpful. The Father's answers are helpful. In verse 7, he says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead?" God is good. God is loving. God is kind. He knows what you need better than you do. He knows what will make you happy better than you do. He knows your life better than you do. He knows what makes you tick. And He knows better than you do. He knows what will make you fulfilled. He knows what will give you life meaning. He knows what will give you significance in and through Him. God knows what you don't know. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And He wants to give you things that are helpful. When you have your child come to you and say, "Hey, could I have some bread?" Your response would be to give that child some bread instead of a stone. Jesus says, "You know how to give good things to your kids, and you are evil." Not my words, His. And so if you, being evil, can still give good things, how can a God who is absolutely no trace or hint or smidgen of evil anywhere close to Him, how much more then would the things that He give you be good for you, be helpful for you? But where we lose sight of this is we think that this means everything has to be coming up roses all of the time. And when they don't, then God's somehow this mean taskmastering ogre. If you get the no or if you get the wait, then somehow God's not being very helpful. When in fact, He only has your best interest in heart, and He only has your best interest in mind. Even in the hard things, God is offering you His helpfulness. Can you find it by faith to believe that God is working on your behalf, that He does want to answer your prayer, that He is interested in helping you, that He is interested in working to bring out the best of you or the best of Christ in you? The Father answers prayers in a manner that is helpful. One of the most powerful things that came out of the Real God study was when Chip Ingram said, "Even in the midst of the most hurtful, painful things in my life, a loving, helpful God assures me that this is the easiest, simplest, most productive way to get me to where He needs me to be." Even in things that are hard. Because when the Father answers in ways that are helpful. He's working to bring out the best of Christ in me. Promise number three seems an awful lot like promise number two, but it's quite different. The Father's answers are not harmful. They are not harmful. And so if you were here this morning and you were in a season of your life, we're going, "Well, God just doesn't hear, God just doesn't care, God just doesn't answer." I want you to know this morning that that's absolutely not true. Seems like God's only role in life is to make me miserable. Seems like God's only purpose in life is to not get me a break. God is not mean. And when he answers your prayers, he does not answer them in a way that is harmful. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 9 he says, if your children ask for bread, are you going to give them a stone? But in verse 11 he says, if your children ask for a fish, are you going to give them a snake? Fish and bread are a very common meal in the time when Jesus is teaching. And so he uses fish and bread, which is a very common thing, but then he gives completely different types of answers. He says, not only would you not give your children a stone, which would just be dumb, but he said, not only would you not give your children a snake, which is not only dumb, but it is now harmful. And again, Jesus says, you're evil. And you still know better than to give things to your children that would harm them. Why can't you understand that your Father in heaven would not give you things that would harm you? He would not allow things into your life that would harm you. Because God answers our prayers in such a way that harm does not come to us. That is not his intention. Oh, things may be uncomfortable, things may be challenging, things may be different. When you consider the work that some of these missionaries are doing for Annie Armstrong, when you hear the testimony of the guy that Andre met, people who have walked away from six-figure salaries to go serve in the slums and the barrios and the ghettos and the downtrodden places of North America so that the gospel might be given, so that the gospel might be pushed forward. Sometimes God will call us and ask us to do some crazy things, and hard though they may be, and difficult though they may be, and scary though they may be, his intent is never to harm you. Do sometimes people who are pursuing the gospel get harmed? Yes. But it is not God's intention for harm to come. Even in hard things, he is working to bring out the best of Christ in you. Which brings us to promise number four. And that is, the Father's answers promote his best for me. You see, the prayer continues when he taught the disciples. And he told the disciples that they needed to pray that God's kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so in your relationship with God, your prayer needs to be, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When I pray, let me pray in such a way that I care about your kingdom on earth as it is here in heaven. And when we begin to pray this way, when we begin to understand the magnitude and the depth of praying that way, we begin to see with fresh and new the eyes of our Heavenly Father. We begin to feel a sense and anew the heart that beats in Him for us to make a difference for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. 2 weeks ago, I talked about King David, and King David was facing a giant enemy. And he said, God, what do I do? And God told him what to do, and he went out and he did what God told him to do. And David said, look what God did. And then he says, and God used me. Why? Because God's interest is bringing about his kingdom through you. When you make that choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, Jesus himself said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send for you a comforter. I'm going to send you the presence of my Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit's role in your life and mine is to bring with him a spiritual gift for you and I to incorporate for the purpose of building the kingdom of God. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth. How is his will done on earth? It is done through you and through me. And so when the Father answers, he answers to promote his best interest. But it's also his best interest for me, because he wants to use me to build his kingdom. Some people treat prayer like Aladdin's lamp. Come on, God. I grant you three wishes. Okay, wish number one is to have infinity wishes. Right? Yeah, he's not like that. He's not our vending machine, as one of the videos from the Real God Study shows. He's not our butler. He's not our genie. He's not our servant, but we are his servant. He doesn't work for us, but he does let us participate in kingdom things. And when he answers the prayers in our life with a yes, with a no, or with a wait, what he's trying to do is move us to kingdom things. And maybe when he says no in your life, or maybe when he says wait in your life, it's because he's trying to get you to pray with a kingdom heart, and he's trying to get you to live with a kingdom mindset, and he's trying to get you to stay committed to kingdom things. He tells somebody that's really close to him in a beautiful story. He looks her right in the face and he says, "Your mind is distracted by many things." Let me ask you this morning, is your mind distracted by many things? Or is your mind drawn towards kingdom things? To be a disciple means that your mind is drawn towards kingdom things. He looked at the woman and he says, "Your mind is distracted by many things." And he says, "But your sister has chosen the greater thing." And you know what the sister chose? The sister chose Jesus. She chose to sit at his feet and listen and be led and be taught and to be quiet in his presence and to learn from him. She chose the path of being a disciple. You don't have to use fancy words when you come to him in confidence. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Tell him how you feel. This will shock you. Tell him what you think. Ask for wisdom. Seek his help. Ask him for the strength to knock over the things that keep you and him separated. Ask him to continue to knock down things that you put up to keep you from him. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you with an everlasting love. Come boldly to my throne room of grace. Ask of me. Seek me out. Knock down things that would keep you from me. Willfully put those things aside. Take up my yoke. Learn from me. For I am here for you." What's keeping you from praying in faith today? What's keeping you from praying confidently today? What's keeping you from finding yourself regularly in the presence of a Father who loves you? Jesus says, keep it up. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Whatever sins are keeping you from the Father today, confess those. Let me relieve some of you this morning. The confession of sin is the one prayer. Hear me. The confession of sin is the one prayer you don't have to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking for. Prayer for guidance, prayer for wisdom, prayer for direction, prayer for strength, prayer for patience, prayer for love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All those things you got to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. But if you confess your sin, then he is faithful to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And unfortunately, too many believers today feel like you keep having to confessing the same sin over and over and over again because somehow God didn't hear. No, he heard. And he gave you an answer, which is you are forgiven. But in your faithlessness, you have chosen not to believe the answer to that prayer. And if you cannot believe the answer to that prayer, how will you be able to receive the answers when you pray for direction or hope or encouragement or love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness? God the Father answers, and He wants to answer you today. Because He won't give you things that are harmful. He wants to give you things that are helpful. Because He wants you to participate in kingdom growth here in this life. Let me go back to where I started. If you're feeling overwhelmed by all that this morning, maybe what you need to do is do some self-analyzation. Decide and determine. Have I ever really made a conscious commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Or have I simply practiced religion and today in my heart it leaves me wanting? The hymn writer has said the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why won't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world that should keep you apart. So what is your answer to Him? Lord Jesus, may we find ourselves running hard after You today. And may we take that first step to God the Father. Help us find hope in our Father who is in heaven. Because we have run to the Son who forgives us our sin and gives us access to God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.